Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
Denver Sports Station, 1043 The Fan presents Stokely and Zach.
Is this the year? Is this the year that the Broncos finally beat the Kansas City Chiefs? It's gone on for a long time now. All right. What are we talking, Richie? 0 for their last 11, is it, against Kansas City, I think?
Wow.
I mean, it has been years.
That's over 5 years, if that's correct.
Is this the year, given all the optimism with the roster, it's maybe a different approach to beating Kansas City, given the secondary, the most expensive in all of professional football? You got corners out the wazoo. Rumors are teams are calling the Broncos on behalf of some of these guys. I'm looking at the odds from our friends at Superbook, and it looks like right now, well, how about this? The Broncos don't play Kansas City till week 13.
Wow.
Do you view that as an advantage? It is 11, Richie? Okay. Yeah, 11 consecutive losses to the Chiefs. Do you view it, Stoke, as an advantage for the Broncos that it's not until week 13?
I don't know. You know, it's sure could be. You know, it's we'll see when we get there. Broncos right now should be pretty healthy for the first game. You know, what does it look like week 13? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Broncos don't have, a new coaching staff this year. If they did, it'd be like, yeah, you know, put that thing on the back end of the schedule, let them get some playing experience and get used to the offense and all these things before they play the Chiefs. That would be ideal. That would be, you know, better than playing them early. But now, none of that's a factor. It all comes down to health. Really. What does your football team look like then, health-wise, compared to Kansas City? So I can't tell you that right now. We'll see when we get there. It might be a good thing, might be a bad thing playing right. Them late. Two times late in the season.
And what does Kansas City look like?
Yeah, that's what I said.
They don't have a birthright of staying healthy.
We've seen Mahomes get hurt.
We have.
And
then still lose 30-6. I was there.
Oof.
Bloody Thursday.
Hmm. Good old, who was it?
Matt Moore.
Matt Moore?
I think so, right? Matt Moore on Bloody Thursday, Thursday Night Football, two, 3 years ago?
Fake punt.
Fake punt, that's right.
Gave up like 12 sacks that game.
It was 10. It was most ever given up in a single game, and it was the least amount of points ever scored in a Broncos primetime game.
Didn't we score like the first drive and go for two and miss it?
Correct.
And then that's what you blamed? Like, you're like, Vic shouldn't have gone for two. We would have won this game if he didn't go for two. I'm like, come on.
I don't recall saying that they would have won. But I thought it set a bad tone because there was a penalty on the extra point.
Yeah, so why not go for it? You have to stick in one.
I understand.
I mean, you're trying to beat the Chiefs. You're not playing, you know, the Jets here. You gotta do some things off schedule.
Suffers the Jets, too. Boy.
Is it the year? Zach, right now, you know, the way I'm looking at it, yes, it is. I do. I really do. I'm not saying it just to say it. Now, things will change dramatically in stinking 2.5 months or, you know, over three months, right? But as we sit today, like, we're playing them, you know, two out of the first 5 weeks of the season, I think we get a win. I really do. One of those games. I do.
Wrong.
Wow. Are you serious over there? Wow, Richie. Wow, buddy.
Playing for the good guys now.
Man.
Richie's playing for the good guys in hour number three.
Mm. So, but I must say yes. I mean, division games are close, usually. Now, they've had the Broncos number, but I think the Broncos are built to beat the Chiefs. Guess what? Run the football. Make a few plays in the passing game. Play solid defense. Get after Mahomes up front. I mean, they have the recipe to beat them. They do. The Chiefs aren't unbeatable. Chiefs will lose 3-4 games this year. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you.
Yep.
Why can't the Broncos beat them? I think the Broncos have a roster to be able to beat the Chiefs this year.
Well, they play them week 13 in Kansas City. The folks at Superbook have the Broncos as a 9.5-point underdog.
Wow.
In Kansas City. When Kansas City comes to Denver, Stoke, that is week 18.
Oh, my goodness.
So weird saying that.
Is that the last game? That's the
it
last
is the
game,
last of, the- game wow. of the season. And the chances, especially with a 17-game schedule, that the Chiefs are resting their starters,
yes.
probably pretty good. So who knows what version of the Chiefs product is going to be out there in week 18? Does that count, by the way? If the Broncos beat the Chiefs and Kelsey and Tyreek and Patty, they're not playing.
Do you get a win? Is it a win on the schedule?
Yeah.
Is the streak broken? Is the streak broken or not?
It's not the real Chiefs.
Is the streak broken or not?
No, it's not.
It is. If you get a win, the streak's over. So, I mean, I look, you could put an asterisk there.
I guess beggars can't be choosers.
Right, you could put an asterisk there and like, okay, there's an asterisk, like they didn't play their guys. Now, we'll see. Let's you know, I mean, they might be playing for the number one seed. I mean, let's not act like the Chiefs are going to just, you know, roll this thing again. I'm not on that hype train right now. I want to see this thing out. Baltimore's going to have a good team. Buffalo's going to have a good team. I mean, there's we'll see what the Chargers look like with Herbert. I mean, Titans, you know, might have a really good team. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, Chiefs are going to have everything locked up here and they don't have to play. Now, possibly that could happen. But if the Broncos beat them, guess what? They beat them. I don't know what to tell you. Just like if you win, you win. Right?
I guess so. I mean, that this is just where we're at here.
Right.
This is just where we're at.
Murals.
True. True. Ravens week 4. Guess the spread.
Now we are playing at home.
Correct.
Okay. I got the Ravens favored by... It's right. I'm right around a field goal. So I'm 2.5 to 3.5. I'm going to go... 3.5.
You are on the money exactly.
3.5?
3.5.
All right. That's the first one I've gotten right.
A lot closer than, you know, some might think.
You're at home, man, and Broncos defense should be good. So, I like that number.
I mean, I'll tell you what, that we were having the conversation earlier today, like, could the Broncos get to 10-7? Man, Stoke, I know it's the National Football League, all right, and the Broncos have been bad, but I don't know if I've ever seen a schedule that's more set up for the Broncos to get off the bottom. It's ranked as the easiest in all of the NFL.
Is it really?
It is.
Wow.
It is ranked the easiest, and you look at a lot of these opponents, again, all NFL players, they're on scholarship too, right?
Yeah.
So I understand, but from the way that you open up against your first three opponents to – you know, you're going, you got the Eagles at home. I mean, you got the Lions at home. You got the Bengals at home. There should be some wins in there,
yeah.
Man. Like the Broncos over under total. And I know this is a little bit different by a half game, depending on where you look. But Superbook has it at 9. Other places have it at 8.5. Like, when is the last time?
If I can get that thing at 8.5, I think I pounce.
Yeah?
I think I pounce. Yeah. I mean, now that you're telling me what you're telling me, I didn't, you know, I knew they had an easier schedule. I didn't know it was ranked the easiest. Now, things change from year to year. You know, you'll see some storylines with some teams that play a lot better than the way they played last year, right? Things change a lot.
Of course.
So, but overall, they got winnable games, you know, like you said. I if it's 8.5, I like the over there. I'd take that. I wouldn't bet the under.
Right. Right. If the Broncos are, well, you know, 8-9, let's not act like that's not realistic, too.
Oh.
I mean, it's kind of all on the table.
Right. It's definitely realistic, but I'm just saying if I had to wager that thing,
yeah.
I mean, I got to take the over. I just have to.
What's the spectrum for the Broncos? Worst case scenario, best case scenario? And I'm asking you in the first week of September, things change. But from where you sit right now?
I mean, I don't see this team losing or winning less than eight games. Right now, as we sit here, the way I look at this team, the health of this team, I don't see them losing, winning less than eight games. So I think bottom of this thing is eight.
Bottom's eight.
Wow. Bottom's eight. Bottom's up.
Wow.
That's eight for me. And the upper echelon's 11. I mean, I don't see them getting to 12 and 5, but they hit those green lights. You could have 11 and 16. 11 and 6 team. So I would have them between 8 and 11 is kind of where I'm at. I don't see them winning less than 8, though. Zach, do you?
I think I would.
You've been a hater all day, so go ahead. Just keep it going. Just keep it going.
I would just move the spectrum on the left just a little bit more, one game.
Okay.
I think they could be, if things do not go well, they could be 7-10. I think that they, man, I'll move it both ways. I think worst case they're 7-10. Best case they're 10-7.
Man, it just continues.
I mean,
the Debbie Downer, rain on our parade continues. This has been you all day, though. It has.
I'm trying to be reasonable.
No, I got you, but it's just, it's been you all day. No, don't come with that now. Don't, you can't come with that now. You can't. Just stick it and be done with it.
You think the Broncos are going to go 11-6? I don't know. I just
can't believe you today. You just, like,
more
one day I'm trying to be optimistic and positive and feel great, and you're just like,
I don't know. Am I crazy? Let's reach out to the RamosLaw.com text line. 303-713-1043. What's the spectrum of worst case and best case for the Denver Broncos this year? We'll read some of those responses, as well as one of our biggest stars in town is back in town. And Stoke, my eyes are telling me something. Details next.
You're listening to Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
All right, let's get to some of these responses on the RamosLaw.com text line. The question was, what is the spectrum for the Denver Broncos this season? The best case scenario, worst case scenario. You and I are just a one game off in each direction. You think the worst case scenario. I just want to make sure you worst case scenario, they win eight games.
Yeah, you heard me right, Zach. But I say that right now as we sit here today.
Well, of course.
With the health of this football team right now. Now, all of a sudden, if you lose, you know, 2-3 year studs, that changes. But right now, yes, I see this team being a really good football team, and I don't see them winning less than eight football games. I think that would be a disaster if that happens. I mean, I'm pretty high on the Broncos right now. They've come out of camp pretty healthy. We'll see if Chubb and Fant, what they look like going into week one. They're dinged up a little bit. But overall, yeah, I don't think this football team wins less than eight football games.
And then best case scenario, you think they could be 11 yes. and 6.
Yes.
So weird getting used to the 17 games.
Got to add 11, 12, okay, 11 and 6, yes.
And I think that worst case, the Broncos could go 7-10. I could see that given the what I've watched here for the last few years. And I think best case would be 10-7. So I have that's my window. All right. Oh, someone says, worst case, 8-9, best case, 10-7. Okay. Someone else says, I'm going to reach and say the Broncos will be 11-5. That's from Paul. Best case is 10 or 11 wins. Well, you got to pick one. You can't say 10 or 11. It's one or the other. Cindy from Parker, I'm with you. The worst we could do is 8 losses. The best we can do is 10. So, okay. So you kind of agrees with both of us there.
Yeah.
Which is reasonable. I think this is a reasonable conversation that we're having. I don't think this is like hot takes or anything like that. Worst case, Teddy and Drew get injured. Well, you know, okay.
Come on, we're not. Let me sound like Zach today.
Hey, Zach, I agree with you. I don't trust Uncle Vic as far as I can throw him.
That's fair. Look.
Nothing's really changed on the roster for the Broncos, and we still have a journeyman quarterback.
Well, yeah, a lot has changed on the Broncos. I mean, a lot, right? I mean, do you want me to tell you what's changed? A lot. We got a new quarterback.
Got a new quarterback.
Jerry Jeudy's in year two. Mm-hmm. Hamler's in year two. That's supposed to be the biggest jump in your career, right? Guess what? All of these guys offensively are in year two of Pat Shermer's system. They had a whole offseason. How about our defense?
You got a new right tackle, by the way, on your
line. Yeah, new right tackle. Lines back together again. You know, Cushenberry's in year two, leading that group. Fant in year three, once again in year two in Shermer's system. Now you have two new starting corners, Darby and Fuller. Vaughn's healthy. A lot has changed here. A lot. Those are big positives. Why do you think I was so pessimistic about the Broncos last year? I was pessimistic. I had them winning six games. Well, because all those things were different last year. I was saying, Jeudy, yes, I expect him to have a good year, but he's still a rookie. Hamler's a rookie. Cushenberry's a rookie. All these guys are in a new system, and they didn't get an offseason. You know, this is Drew Locke's first year starting. It's going to be some struggles there to score the football. And that turned out to be true. But now this year, I flip it around, and I'm more optimistic about what I'm looking at. Do you still owe me a dinner? Do you still owe me a dinner? Huh? The points per game? The points per game? The bet that we had last year? And we doubled down on it? Richie? Richie?
That was a little before my time, but it sounds vaguely familiar.
That's right. Why are you turning red? Well, this is what happened.
Wait. Jog my memory. Because it's coming back
right,
to me.
Yeah. It's a little fuzzy over there. But what happened was, we had the bet. We had the bet. And it was like 20-something points per game. I don't remember what it was. Well,
was it 24?
It wasn't even close. It was going to be, you didn't have a chance at it. So I reset it for you. And you paid a couple coffees. I reset it for you for the last like four or five games of the season.
Is that right?
Yeah. And you still lost.
Really?
So yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I do remember this. I wasn't here, but yeah. I remember this by, you know, from afar.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really.
I remember the reset.
Yeah, really.
So we had initial bet of 24.
I don't know. I don't remember the number.
Okay.
We did it like early on in the process.
So it was like in the preseason. I said that they were going to score.
This might have been the offseason.
I said that they were going to score more.
Yes.
That was a mistake.
No, slightly. And that's why I was nice enough to at least reset it for you. But it still didn't finish strong.
Gosh.
Yeah, I just remembered that. Goodness.
I still owe you a dinner, huh?
Yeah, well, two actually, but, you know, one still from the 49ers losing to the Kansas City Chiefs that's never been paid up, so.
we can swing through Sonic after this.
Oh, my goodness. I remember Stoke, it was 24. Thank you, 720. Yeah, it was right around there. I remember, and I was like, oh, no chance.
That must have been an optimistic day about Drew Locke and this offense. It must have been a really optimistic day.
Yeah.
The Broncos went on to average 20 points a game. 20 points, which ranked 28th in the league.
It's going to be better this year. I know I'm optimistic about that, buddy.
It's got to be.
Right.
It's got to be. We are going to have a steak dinner together here.
Yeah.
A week from today.
Well, we got to discuss that. We might have to. We'll see.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we got to pay it off before the season starts.
No, I know.
Marilat right. owes us.
We'll talk about it.
All right. We have a new points per game bet?
Do we? Well, possibly.
But we're flipping roles here, I think.
You're a little less optimistic than me. I mean, what would the number be?
You want to know what? I think it should be right at the same mark. I think it should be right around the same mark.
What mark is that?
24 points a game.
Let me think about this. Let me go back and do some research.
Okay.
And do some due diligence. Talk to my analytic people.
Talk to your analytic guy.
Yep. Let me talk to,
he's free. Vic fired him.
Yeah. Well, they got a new crew this year.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, go through my analytics group that I have put together to crunch the numbers, Zach, and I'll get back to you.
If you're 24 points a game, you're right there in the middle of the league. Like that, you're right there. It's about like teams who average 24 points a game.
I think that would be
a
good bet this year, like right around there. But I'll get back to you on that.
All right.
Okay.
Like teams who averaged 24 last year, the Falcons, the Cowboys, the Chargers.
Not the Cowboys averaged 24. Well, they started off so hot.
They started off big numbers.
Yeah.
Big numbers. And then the Mooch couldn't quite move the ball.
The Mooch.
What is that his name?
DiNucci?
DiNucci.
The Mooch.
DiNucci.
The Mooch. Yeah, DiNucci didn't make the cut this year.
No. All right. I said going to the last break, didn't pay it off, but one of our biggest stars in town is back in town, and my eyes are telling me something. I'm gonna bounce this thought off you coming up next.
It's Stokely and Zach on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Biggest stars in town is back in town, and boy, these pictures, man, these pictures. The guy I'm talking about is Nikola Jokic, and his last name now has a double meaning because this dude is yoked. Nikola Jokic looks different. And if you've seen the pictures or if you've seen the videos that have been surfacing of Nikola Swollen Jokic, I mean, he clearly has not taken his foot off the gas, Stoke. He has only ratcheted up. He went from like trimming down to now building muscle and staying trimmed down. You see the video of him running at Red Rocks? It looks like he's even taken this to another level, and there is now a picture surfaced in the last 24 hours of him like flexing a little bit, and it's like, holy crap, this guy has kicked it even into more high gear, and to think that the MVP of the league is finding another gear physically, I think there's a great assumption that last year was a one-off with Jokic. It was just like this weird year. Remember Nick Wright saying it's like a weird year. Jokic won the MVP. I'll tell you what, man, if there's another gear to Jokic, he's 12-1 to win MVP right now. I think he's worth another flyer.
Wow, I haven't seen that video or seen any pictures, but I think that's awesome. You know, he started making this transformation kind of, I think it was in the bubble.
It was during the hiatus, when he came back.
Yes. And then you see him take it to the next level. And he was great last year. My mind starts going to, you know, what it could look like this year. Like, can he take his game to another level? He already played a lot of minutes, right? I love it, though. I want to see what it looks like. You know, what does he look like now if he takes that next step? Because we saw it from, you know, where he was to, you know, the Jokic that we saw the last year and a half or so, and the big step that he took moving forward, just that conditioning and what it did for him. And then now, you know, is there another level, Zach? I mean, can he take it to another level?
My eyes are telling me that that's what's on his mind. Like, I asked for 3 years here with you leading up to that season. What was it, the 2019? Or no, I guess it was the 2020 season. That got derailed. I said, you can't tell me that you look at Nikola Jokic's body and you can't tell me he's dedicated his life to this. I would say that both here and on the podcast ad nauseum. I'm looking at a guy who's dedicated his life to this.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a guy who has a newfound maturity. And you saw just like physically how he was able to dunk a basketball like 4 times as often as he did year over year. What could this look like? I wanted to make sure I got that thought out of my head because this guy, he's got first team all league written on him again and in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, look.
In the MVP hunt.
I think when you look at Nikola, I think like, you know, you hear the stuff from the outside, Right, but not from here. Not people that watch him night in and night out. They know that it's real. Like, mm-hmm. he's not going to fall off
no.
a cliff here. No. It's real. This is who he is. And, you know, he just got noticed by, you know, maybe the rest of the country and some of these other people that are like, oh, well, it's just a flash in the pan. It's a, you know, he won't be able to do it again. But, look, I think everyone here that watches him doesn't have a doubt that he's going to do it again. Like, he's going to be just as good as he was last year. And hopefully there is another gear. No Jamal Murray.
Nope.
You know, early in the season. Hopefully he comes back at some point.
Although he is way ahead of his rehab
really?
Process. I saw a video of him from 2 weeks ago. He is standing flat-footed underneath the rim and explodes up and grabs the rim with two hands.
Wow.
So he is rapidly, seen some of the videos as well.
Yeah.
He is shooting. He's looking like he is like light years ahead of his rehab process.
Yeah, and hopefully a big step forward for Michael Porter Jr. this year.
Yeah, that's maybe the biggest thing.
You know,
I think
all that obviously would help Jokic take that next step. But that gets me excited about this year, just watching him and seeing what it looks like, because I haven't seen the video or pictures.
And last thought on this. Is like, we live in an era right now where Nikola Jokic's game is more appreciated than ever before in NBA history because of advanced data. And you get to see regularly graphs, you know, of every face in the league. And Jokic is so far and away up and to the right. And it's like very visual, where in the past, like, you were kind of like nerdy with that stuff.
Right.
Now it's praised and lauded. And if Jokic.
It's part of more regular stats
for
now.
For sure. For sure. And if Jokic. Like, Jokic just won the MVP by having one of the most efficient seasons of all time. If he backs that up or even surpasses it, you're going to have this data, like, weighing in the way that it did last year, where in the past it's like could be a one-off, but he may make it irrefutable because of, hey, if he won the MVP with a season like that, he just surpassed it. And if the Nuggets are going to win, you know, 50 games, then he's going to be squarely in that conversation. So
yeah, and especially if you don't have Jamal, and he does it without Jamal,
right,
for most of that season. So I like it. I like it. I'm looking forward to it. When do they get cranked up?
It won't be until the month of December, if I'm not mistaken, but. So we got a little bit here, but
the training camp.
That
thing starts up here probably pretty soon, right?
Yep, should be pretty soon. How about this sentence? If you were to say this 3 years ago, wouldn't have made sense. But Nikola Jokic has the same MVP odds as LeBron James.
Wow,
pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool. All right, George Payton was on the drive last night. Good get by Nick and...
No, not the drive.
Nick and Cecil, excuse me. And he was talking to Nick and Cecil about just recalibrating the winning standard around here.
You know, it's very important. You know, we need to set the winning standard, you know, and obviously they haven't won here in 5 years. I think it was really important to have a successful preseason. You know, I know it's preseason, but winning is contagious, and we played very well, offense, defense, need to improve on special teams, but I think it's contagious. We need to get off to a good start this season. We've struggled out of the gate the last couple of years, and so I think winning breeds that, Nico, and, you know, I think we're on the right track.
Nico. Like, where do they know each other from? Where were they together? Because they had to be together somewhere, because that's like, you know, that's not just a name, like, where you met somebody or you've, you know, where stops? Were they in Miami together? I don't know. Was Ferguson in Miami?
Richie said he believes it was Chicago.
Chicago, okay. All right. Look, but George Payton's right. It's contagious. Winning is contagious. When you haven't won, the more winning you do, preseason or not, it's only a good thing. And so they got to get this thing back on track. But the thing that I keep hearing from everyone now is special teams.
Yep.
Where everyone's talking about it now, right? Almost to the degree it was, you know, back with Brock Oliva.
Yeah, Brock Oliva.
Olivo, with the Isaiah McKenzie disaster was, right?
Oh,
all the fumbles that
right.
he had. But now, I mean, there's a spotlight on special teams. And we know it hasn't been good enough around here, but it hasn't been talked about as much.
Now it's
talked about almost every day with Vic, with George Payton, you know, talking about, hey, we're bringing in guys specifically for our special teams.
Yep.
You know,
incredible emphasis.
Yes. So And it's an incredible emphasis on special teams playing well and being a big part of this team winning.
And to your point, it came up last night with George Payton and Nick and Cecil.
Yes. So, yeah, like putting this roster together, you know, we had our 53-man cut, you know, the last couple of days, and it's a big puzzle, Nick, as you know, and a guy may be your third safety or your fourth safety, but if he can't play on special teams, he can't help you game day. So the trick, you know, the hard part of putting the roster together is getting the best offense, the best defense, but also helping your special teams, because you need to win in all three phases to win in this league. So that's a challenge of my job, our scouts' jobs, our coaches' jobs, is not only getting the best players on offense and defense, but the guys that can help you on special teams. You know, the backup players who you think can ascend to be a starter, but if they can't play on special teams, they're not going to help you on game day.
Love it. There Hopefully special teams takes a big step forward and is part of the Broncos winning this year and not costing them games.
Yep. House cleaning during the segment. I said December. I was thinking of the Christmas Day game that they didn't get. This is the first time
off on that last segment.
In a decade that the reigning MVP didn't have a Christmas Day game. They get started in October. This is the season that was the full recalibration after the last 2 years, now getting back on schedule. And it'll be, I think, the third week of October is
perfect. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Goodbye, Brandon. Richie behind the glass, shout out. We step aside for the drive coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 1043thefan.com.